Thank you. There is only love. That's a great affirmation to have. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. Good to see you all. You can say, good to see you too, Jane. We are wrapping up our 12 power series today.
Oh, the last one.
The last one. And we're talking about those innate spiritual gifts or attributes that we all have within us, ready to come forth, ready to be developed and expressed. And think way back to January when we began this. We started with the power of faith. And then throughout these past few months, we've talked about strength, love, wisdom, power, power of the spoken word, imagination, understanding, will, order, zeal, and renunciation or elimination. It's been quite a journey. And the final one today is life, the power of life. Ken Wilber wrote a book called A Theory of Everything, and that's kind of what it feels like for me to write a talk about life. You know, how do you write about everything? Life is bigger than any philosophy that tries to even explain it. We live in it. We live it. We swim in it. We are it. No beginning, no end. It's limitless. It's everywhere present. The animating force within all of creation. One presence, one power, one life, living as countless expressions. So we're not merely living, but we are life in expression. A comedian I saw once said, whenever I've heard people say life is hard, I wonder, compared to what? Can you imagine not being? And yet it's sort of like asking a fish to point the way to water. You know, the only time a fish becomes aware of water is when it's no longer in it. And in the same way, we are immersed in life. And we can take it for granted, can't we? And yet our time here on earth is a gift, not a given. My talk title is Skin in the Game. We have to have skin in the game of life in order to grow into who we've come here to be. In other words, we need to have a personal investment in our own life in order to actualize our spiritual potential. What gives value and significance to our life is our willingness to actually live it. Do you see? To inhabit our days, having skin in the game. So imagine you had a magical bank account, and every day $86,400 was deposited, and you could spend it any way you wanted, but at every night at midnight, whatever was left over disappeared. Well, every day we have 86,400 seconds to use any way we see fit, and then at midnight, it's gone. And I don't know about you, but I can find it so easy to fritter away those seconds staring at a TV screen on autopilot, missing the fact that in this very moment, we are in the presence of pure being. It's all around us. It's within us. Never leaves. So we don't want to miss our lives, do we? At the end of my life, I don't want to look around and go, what just happened? Did I have a near-life experience? I love this quote by Peter Sage. Life is not a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in sideways, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, loudly proclaiming, whoa, what a ride! Is that how you think of your life? Wild ride, skidding in sideways. How are you choosing to spend your precious life? Are you all in? Are you present to what's happening in the moment, participating with a deeper reality in co-creating a life that you want with skin in the game? We need to take stock of how we're spending our 86,400 seconds. Because if we're sleepwalking through life, we're missing the amazing beauty of it. I read the story of a woman who went to a Buddhist counselor, and she was feeling crushed because she had booked a vacation, and her two daughters opted to stay home with dad, her ex-husband, rather than going on vacation with her. And when she asked why, they said, "Because you're not any fun. You're all business," they said, "even when you're on a vacation. You're just dragging us from place to place. We don't want it." So the woman was trying out meditation in the hope that it would help her to relax a little. And when she came in for guidance, the counselor noticed that when she meditated, she was still all business. She was tense. Her face was all tensed up. She was trying to make it work, you know, pushing a river in her mind. Do you know what I'm talking about, anybody? So the counselor suggested that she move her practice into a beautiful place in nature where she could also walk. And her assignment was to use her senses in order to center herself. She was to feel her feet on the earth and to take in all the fragrances, the sights, the sounds, and to stop whenever she was attracted to something beautiful, interesting, to focus her full attention on whatever it was. Well, weeks later, the woman returned, and she was completely different. Her countenance had changed. She was serene, she was relaxed, and she shared that these walks had just become one long linger. She was learning how to savor her life, to actually taste her food, to take in the surroundings, to be delighted by her daughter's laughter, infectious laughter, instead of race walking through the whole thing. And the girls liked hanging out with their mom all of a sudden. She was learning to become intimate with the life that was right in front of her. Now, I can relate to that woman and her scurrying through life. I've been known to do such things. And it's like we can race walk along, trying to get away from the present moment to some imagined future that we'll then race walk to get away from again. Or race walking to make something happen, or to escape from the past, just trying to keep a little bit ahead of it. What about enjoying the ride? Once at Unity Village, I saw a bunch of folks race walking through the labyrinth. And after I was finished judging them, I thought, you know, I thought, that looks like fun. Maybe I'm going to do that. See, I got 5 minutes to walk. Let's go. Thich Nhat Hanh was once asked by a group of meditators in California in the early 70s how they could improve their meditation time. They were living in a Buddhist temple, arising at dawn every day, spending hours in the silence. They waited eagerly to hear his response, and he said, "Don't get up so early." And then he added, "Breathe and smile." There's the recipe, breathe and smile. Because as Oscar Wilde says, life is way too important to be taken seriously. The New Thought author Christian Sorensen describes life as infinite consciousness, having infinite experiences through infinite points of attention, where each outlets of spirit, how the divine gets around on this earthly plane. Do you own that about yourself?
Yeah.
A couple people do here. We are limitless creations of the one true limitless mind, unrepeatable expressions of the divine. Ernest Holmes once said, the universe doesn't indulge in duplicates. If there were two of you, one would be unnecessary. Yeah. You are unique. And to paraphrase the poet Mary Oliver, what do you plan to do with your wild and precious life? Right now, the Indian poet Kabir said, wherever you are is the entry point. Right here, right now, life is. There's no duality in life. There's no opposite to it. Sometimes we think that death is the opposite of life. Death's the opposite of birth. Arrival, departure. Life itself goes on. So if there's no opposite, why aren't we all living a life of total joy, abundance, harmony, and peace right now? Well, it's true that there's nothing opposed to life except our own belief systems that get in the way of our experiencing that life. Do you see? And if we choose to spend our 86,400 seconds watching the news, commiserating with others about the economic climate, focusing on what's wrong in our world, what happens? Our subconscious takes it all in. And if our unconscious thoughts and feelings and words and actions are reflecting a belief that life is suffering, we will not be experiencing a life of joy and peace and harmony. You see how it just works that way. And I'm not telling you not to be informed or not to take action to make things right in your world, but be mindful of the mindset as you do. Watch what frequency you're operating on. Last week we talked about release, how important it is to let go of whatever may be blocking you from entering the kingdom. And habitual patterns of thought, limited emotional states, act as a filter that obstruct the flow of the divine presence from being expressed in a life-affirming way. Do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
Yeah. Within us is a power greater than anything we're going through. And we can rely on this divine presence to lift us, to uphold us, to carry us through whatever is showing up. But if we are completely identifying with the ego, with the personality, as the totality of who we are, we don't access that deeper, authentic self within that transcends all the stuff. And we squander our creative power on creating a life, experiencing life the way we don't want to experience it. So what do you want to have more of in your life? Just think for a second. What would be your ideal life? Can you picture it? How would it look? How would it feel? Who would you be? At the end of your life, as you look back, what do you want to remember and celebrate? And are you living that ideal? Are you engaging in work that you love, in activities that inspire and uplift you, that are in alignment with your highest vision for your life? Are you living your values? Are you listening to spirit and letting that be your guide? I once read that our vision in life needs to be larger than our TV screen. How much of our life energy gets wasted staring at a facsimile of living on a flat screen of some kind? So we can either consciously or unconsciously design our lives. And if we want to design one in integrity with our deeper, authentic self, we have to take time in the silence and listen. What is Spirit's vision for you? Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Really? Ask for guidance. And there's some questions you can ask yourself to get clarity on living your vision. The first is simple. What do you really want? Search your heart. Look within your psyche. Find what you love to do so much that you would do it without being paid. If you won the lottery, had nothing standing in your way, no drawbacks at all, what would you do with the rest of your life? After tithing 10% to the church. Goes without saying. But there's another question that goes well beyond what do you really want, and it's this: what wants you? What wants you? What wants to come forth and be expressed through you? There's something that only you can do. What wants to be birthed by you? These are amazing questions to ask yourself and then to listen for the answer. The first question, what do you really want? That can help you hone in on what it might be, how it might look, how it might feel. The final one, what wants you? That becomes the velocity blast for takeoff, to reach orbit. A friend of mine considered these questions, and she realized that the two things she loved to do the most was writing and traveling, writing and traveling. If she won a lottery, she would spend her whole time traveling and writing with great sense of adventure. And she had the knowing that what wanted to be expressed through her were writings on travel. Who knew? She became a travel writer for a national magazine. What a great gig. She has the most amazing adventures, and I love to read about the incredible places that she visits. It gets me very excited just reading about it, very inspired, and it brings forth my own adventurous spirit. She's doing the two things she loves the most, and the work being expressed through her is blessing her readers in a big way because it's shining a light on what's beautiful in the world in an inspiring way. Do you see? DeWitt Jones is a photographer for National Geographic and has been for decades. And his job is to show beauty to the world, find what's right in the world, and broadcast it. And she's doing a similar thing. Now, all of us can find what that thing is for us. All of us. What do you love to do? What wants to come forth that only you can do? What's the vision that Spirit has for you? Now, in order to see this come into fruition, we don't just think about it. We do that. We have to get ourselves into the feeling of how it's going to feel when it comes into fruition. This is really a big part of it. The feeling is a prerequisite to having the vision come forth. It's not the result. It's the prerequisite. We've got to get there first. We have to feel it. We have to be it. And then we see it. So my friend gets into an adventurous state before she can ever experience those adventures. And she's in that state when she writes. And the writing that comes through is inspired. Makes you want to join her wherever she may be. So it's not about just having a vision. It's about feeling it and being it until the vision manifests. Here's a practice you can use to help with that. Think about what you want to be in your life. What's a quality of being that you want to bring forth and develop in your life? Could be compassionate, whatever it is. Think of what that quality of being is for you. Just take a moment and consider one quality of being you want to express in your life. And then think of what's the feeling behind it? What's the feeling behind it? Sometimes the quality of being and the feeling are one and the same. Not always, but they can be. And now think of one action you can take that can bring forth the feeling for you. So let me show you how this can work, how this works in my case. Whoops. All right, what happened to you? Okay. Quality of being an inner state that I want to experience more of in my life, that I want it to be my signature feeling and beingness, is a sense of adventure. I want to go through life experiencing it as one wild and crazy ride, sliding in sideways. So the feeling behind it, excitement, being on fire with life. Now, what can bring forth that feeling of excitement? That's one thing. There's a few. Getting on my bike and exploring new places, new things. It gets me in that place. In fact, I tested this out this week. I decided I was going to do a scientific test on this, and I can guarantee you that what I chose brought forth a feeling of excitement, a sense of adventure. And that's what we want to do. We want to do things that bring us into the feeling before we see the vision come to fruition. That's how it works. That's having skin in the game. We are here to discover the gifts that we bring and the gift that we are. Every single one of you has a gift that you have brought to this planet to share. And I'm so grateful that you're here and that you've brought that. Because the gift that you bring, the gift that you are, blesses humanity. Do you see how each person bringing their gift blesses humanity? That's so cool. So what are you bringing? What are you bringing to share in a meaningful way with all of humankind? Because there's no one other than you that can complete your mission during your spins around the sun. Just you. Live as if your life depends on it, says Werner Erhard. Because it does. So here are some questions to consider this week. Whether you're in a spirit group or not, they're just things you can think about. What do you really want? If you won the lottery, what would you do with the rest of your life? What is seeking to express through you? What wants you? And bonus activity. What's a quality of being you want to bring forth? What's the feeling behind it? And one action that can activate that feeling, and then take the action. Wherever you are is the entry point. So what do you plan to do with the rest of your wild and precious life? Thank you for sharing the last 1,200 seconds of it with me.
All right. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel that the universe is calling me into some expression of being. How many of you also feel that, sort of sense that? I think that's a powerful thing, and I think it's something that we need to acknowledge and value, that that's happening for us, for each other, because it's so easy just to let that kind of pass by and not have the sense that there are things that are happening now in these times, in the context of all the things that are happening in the world, that are calling each one of us individually into a greater expression of why we are here. I mean, we are here on this planet because of these times. And it's important for us to acknowledge what's calling us, what's pulling us into an expression that moves us beyond our yesterday self. And it can be kind of scary to be called into a work or into a passion or into a vocation or into just a sense of being willing to be called. It can be quite scary sometimes, especially when that calling has us in some ways bucking the system. the system needs bucking during these times. All right, so let me just say this. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways of worshiping God, for we know that there is only one presence and one power, that is God, active in our universe and in our life. That's God the good. And so whoever you are and wherever you are on your transformational journey, you are welcome, most welcomed here today. And if this is your very first time, if you're a guest today, if you feel comfortable raising your hand, identifying yourself, our ushers have a packet, well, just a skinny envelope, really, of information for you. There's some folks over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I made a prediction today. I thought, I think we're going to get 7 new people today.